Welcome to Hallway Conversations, an interview series with geospatial insiders and outsiders. My hallway conversation with Mano Marks, developer advocate at Google, was recorded on October 22nd, 2009.
I am joined today in the virtual hallway by Mano Marks. He's the developer advocate at Google. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay. Now let's see, you said one of the things you wanted to talk about was the state of geospatial file formats.
I've been thinking and blogging about this a little bit. I think that I'm interested in this concept of the geo-web. This is something that we've talked about a lot in the geo-blogging community at conferences and et cetera. There's conferences called geo-web. You know, there's just a lot. This is this buzzword that I don't think many of us spend a lot of time thinking about what are the implications for that. What is?
Maybe before we do that, let me make sure we're all on the same page about what the geo web is.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem, right? I don't think that we are. So very loosely speaking, I think that when people think of the geo web, they think of maps mashups, whether it's Google or Bing or Yahoo or MapQuest. They think of KML files. They think of any of the free tools turned into free or paid tools turned into some sort of map or geographic information that you see displayed in a web format. Is that fair? Does that jive with what you think of when you think of the geo web?
It's certainly one definition. I've heard so many, and I agree with you. There's kind of everybody has their own sort of take on what it is. But that's only a good starting point.
So let's go with that as a basis. I guess the problem that I have right now is with the word web. Think of the word web where it comes from. It's a reference, obviously, to the World Wide Web. Nobody ever says World Wide Web anymore. It's just the web. And that was a web because it created this linking structure between documents. You had, in HTML, you had this clear link, and you know everybody put up their home pages with links to everybody else's home pages that they liked, and it became this web, this interconnection between these different file formats. What Google and after that others have done is figured out that you could use that web as a means of ranking pages, right? Of determining what the wisdom of the crowd says about an individual site, how important it is, how relevant it is to the words that it's putting on the page. And obviously, it's much more complex now than that. But the basics are: if a lot of people link to you, and particularly if they're authoritative sites, that gives you a higher PageRank. But the reason I bring up PageRank and that whole thing is because I just don't see there being yet a similar structure within geographic data, not as the geographic data formats are portrayed.
Now, is that because of the formats themselves or because we don't have an appropriate way to link between the different kinds of data?
Well, it's not. I think it's more because it's the nature of the geographic data at this point. Right. You think about the World Wide Web, it's a link structure of essentially unstructured documents for the most part. The structure is solely for presentation in HTML. Whereas in KML and JRSS, some of that structure carries meaning. And I'm kind of diverting off my main point. JRSS and KML both contain linking mechanisms that allow you to link to other pages, other resources, but they aren't used very widely. And this is kind of the opposite of what we had with HTML, where the first pages that everybody was putting up were, you know, scientific papers. But then the next page they put up was the page linking to all their friends' scientific papers. Whereas with KML or GRSS file, the nature of the data itself doesn't lend itself to this linking mechanism.
I think that's true. And I think when I thought we had this problem solved when Google came out with KML search, right? This idea that you could actually search for KML files that had location information in them, that maybe had some attribute information within them. And I had this great idea about how that was going to be the mechanism for finding geospatial data, because you could use a little piece of KML to, in effect, tag another file format. So I thought, well, okay, we're done. And nothing seems to have happened, at least not within the vision that I had.
So obviously I work at Google. I think the KML search is a good step. I think, though, it still lacks this sense of signals, the clear signals that PageRank gives us about relevance. We search the web and we find hundreds of sites that link to, create place marks about, just say, Boston. How do we determine which one is authoritative? Which one is, has a higher page rank? There's a number of signals that we can use. If a lot of people are describing the same place as Boston or points about Boston, then we can, we can say, okay, well, maybe what we can get is an accumulation of the actual location, more importantly than the file. But as for ranking the individual files, how do I know that your link to Bob's Crab Shack in Boston is more important than my link to Bob's Crab Shack, even though you may know much more about it than I do? You may have the location exactly correct, and mine might be off. Not that I would ever put data that was incorrect on the web. But
is there a way to have that, in effect, voting happen when the location information is tied into other information? Because what's clearly happening with other kinds of data that we do rank, like we write restaurant reviews, and you can get sort of summaries of the general gist of this is a good restaurant, this isn't such a great restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that within those tools that allow you to vote on a restaurant or give it 3 stars or whatever, you could also rate how accurately the person located it?
That's a really interesting idea. That is a really interesting idea.
Just because we have so many people who are participating in the is it a good restaurant, is it not,
right?
I don't think it would be that much more to ask them, well, if you used some tool to get here, was the address accurately located?
Right. So there's a couple of things. One is Google does use other signals, and I can't tell you what all of them are, but we do use other signals to determine relevance. But I think my main thrust of the point is that we lack that clear one. The second one, in the case that you're suggesting, the problem is that, think about how people use geographic data. If they're searching the web for a crab restaurant in Boston, and then they find the location on the map, they're not going to go back to the map. I mean, they'll use the map to get them there, but chances are they'll have printed it out or sent it to a GPS device, or it's on their phone, right? They're probably, once they get there, they stop interacting with the map, or usually once they get within a block or two, right? So unless they get horribly wrong and a little annoyed, they're probably not going to go back to the map and say, this is the wrong point.
Right, but you say something that's really important there, and that's when they get really lost and really annoyed that they want to immediately take action. And that's where tools like TomTom's MapShare, I think, are right on target, where even mm-hmm. as you're sitting in your car not being directed to the right location, you can tag that and say, it's wrong.
Right. Right.
There's a certain level of satisfaction in doing that, and then hopefully you are so motivated after you have your great meal at the Crab Shack that when you get home, you immediately sync your device up with your computer so that information gets sent back to TomTom.
Right. And that's, I think, a really, got a really good potential. It doesn't prevent us from a few things. It doesn't prevent us, it doesn't prevent malicious people from essentially downgrading the location of a bunch of spots, right? You search for Bob's Crab Shack or you search for Crab Shack and there's a bunch of crab shops in the same area, and one guy sort of downgrades the location of the other ones just to get his higher in the page rank. What you're pointing out is that we need to look for other ways of doing this I think what I'm pointing out is that our analogy to the web is perhaps incorrect, that it's not necessarily a geo-web. We'll find the web from some other way. What makes it the web really is that it sits on top of web technologies rather than it is a web in and of itself.
I'm with you here. The first time I heard the term geo-web was when I was working as a consultant for the Open Geospatial Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really hard time when they started using the term, which I think was in a slightly different way than you described it, but more as a platform that had lots of services and data out there that were all going to be plugged together because they followed standards. And that's a little bit different, because I think I should think that it would be possible to keep track of, for example, how many people tap into a specific web map service, if you want to consider that voting for it being valuable over some other one. But when you get to individual data sets, as you're suggesting, or individual points of data, potentially, placemarks, then it's a very different kind of web.
And I think we should, when we use a phrase like the web, we should be really thinking about it in the sort of the metaphorical viewpoint rather than the technological piece of it. Just sort of like the way I think about this use of words is much like the difference between a mobile phone and a cell phone, right? In the U.S., we started out calling things cell phones because that's the technology that it was based on. But in other countries, it caught up much more, and they were usually referred to as mobile phones. It's the metaphor that's important there. I think when I try and talk to people who are not geographers or not programmers and who can try and explain to them what the geo-web is, I can't sit there and explain to them a bunch of technologies that it is, but I can explain to them the metaphor of the web. It's like the World Wide Web for geographic information, only it's not.
Only not really, yeah.
Yeah. This isn't, like I said, I'm not settled on this, right? I think that we may be coming at it in a different way, and maybe there's two questions, really. One is it possible to have a web of geographic information? And the second is really, is it desirable? Right. I think of it in terms of PageRank, but that's not the only benefit that we get from linking technologies. We get the links. You get the discovery, the berry picking aspect of going through and clicking on things and finding things that you're interested in. There's a whole slew of benefits to that kind of linking technology. The question is that something that we desire for geographic data? I would like to see something like that, but maybe, on the other hand, maybe it's not. I'm not settled on this.
Right. Well, I think my personal sense is that the current state of one's ability to find geographic data is not high enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being coy in any way when I say, when people ask me, well, how do you find geographic data? I say, I type into Google Hamilton County, Indiana, GIS, right, and see if I can find the right data. That to me is still the best tool I have. No offense intended, but it's not ideal, because who knows what I'm going to find.
Right.
As you point out, who knows what format it's going to be in, and maybe more importantly, who knows if I'm going to find any kind of indication about the quality, let alone the metadata, for the data set I find.
I think these are questions that we need to be asking ourselves now. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of geographic data that's on the web, right? There's half a billion KML files out there. That's a huge number of files. If you do a search on shapefiles and just on file type on Google, it'll come up with hundreds of thousands. In GRSS, there's millions of files. So there's a tremendous amount out there, but so far we've avoided the, as far as I can tell, we've avoided the spam problem, the problem of malicious sites and people putting up things deliberately that are inaccurate. They may be inaccurate, but they're not deliberately, or they're hiding something. So it would be good to figure out the signals. And of course, Google's working on signals, but it would be good for the community to also think about this. Like, if we become even more mainstream than we are now, with the geographic information, how does that look? How do we generate these signals about authority and relevance? How do we look at these files, and what kind of benefits are we missing out by not having something like HTML, but rather having a more structured data set?
Well, I think let's leave it there. We've raised more questions than we've answered, but it would be really interesting to take a look back at these questions in a couple of years and see if we've made any progress.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see where this is all going to go.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You have been listening to an interview with Menno Marks, Google's developer advocate, recorded October 22nd, 2009. If you have questions or comments about this interview, we invite you to post them at Directions Magazine or All Points blog, or you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.